Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's show is about faith-based initiatives. We're speaking with Janet Sharma, the Executive Director of the Volunteer Center of Bergen County, New Jersey. She also serves as the Chair of the Volunteer Center National Network Council, which represents volunteer centers across the country as the local delivery system of the Points of Light Foundation. Volunteer centers work in partnership with the Points of Light Foundation to engage more volunteers more effectively in volunteer service to solve serious social problems. Welcome, Janet.
Thank you, Paul. It's nice to be here.
Well, let's begin by finding out about the mission of the Volunteer Center Network. Could you tell us about it and some of its current activities?
Sure. The Volunteer Center National Network is comprised of about 500 volunteer centers that represent, thousands of communities across the country. Altogether, we reach about two-thirds of the population. Our mission is to work in partnership with the Points of Light Foundation to engage more people more effectively in volunteer service to meet important needs in our communities. Volunteer centers do this at the local level through four key competency areas. Number one is that we connect people with opportunities to serve. Number two is that we promote volunteerism. Number three is that we build capacity for effective volunteering through training and technical assistance. And number four is that we participate in strategic partnerships that address needs at the local level.
And I know that you're familiar and you follow the discussion of the Bush administration's Office of Faith-Based and Community Initiatives. So I'm curious, what impact will this initiative have on local organizations that provide services?
Well, I know, speaking for the volunteer centers, we recently did a study of centers all over the country, and virtually all of them are already working with faith-based organizations. A good deal of the work being done at the very local community level is being done by faith-based groups. I know in my own community, there's a very large network of homeless shelters that's operated through churches and through synagogues. There are also numerous food pantries and so forth, and I think that's true in many communities. Of course, there are also the larger nonprofits that have been around for many years providing excellent service, like Catholic Charities and Habitat for Humanity and Jewish Family Services and things like that, and we as volunteer centers also always work with them. So actually what I'm getting at is that this isn't really new. We've been doing it. What I think is new is that right now there are no parameters around what constitutes a viable faith-based organization. The ones we've been working with are generally already 501c3 tax-exempt nonprofits, but the Bush administration seems to be opening that portal so more faith-based groups can participate.
What are some of the success stories that you've experienced in the partnership between faith-based and community nonprofit organizations?
Oh, I think there's no doubt about it. As I said, in our own community, which is my my community is Bergen County, New Jersey, which is in the New York metropolitan area, there is a very large network of homeless shelters and also of programs that feed the homeless and people who are in crisis. And without that, I mean, there would be no services provided for these people because they do get some government funding for the actual food and so forth, but not for the sheltering. And it's a huge program, especially in the winter months where there are more people who need the shelter. So it's really a huge, huge benefit to our community that's already faith-based.
What kinds of challenges do you anticipate the Office of Faith-Based Initiatives will face implementing this initiative?
Well, I think there are certainly a lot of viable faith-based organizations. I think there are also others that are fringe and that maybe do not have the most viable accounting procedures or whatever. I mean, I think there just has to be accountability built in so that everyone knows that someone is looking after to make sure these funds are used wisely.
How would you advise people to worry about the linkage between religion and service?
Well, I think the government has to make clear as to services are or what funds are going to buy. If they're going to buy services that are open to the broad community without regard to religion, then that's fine. That's the way it should be. But if somebody has to attend a service before they can get food, then that's wrong. That's proselytizing, and that should be definitely not part of the picture. There still has to be a division between church and state as far as people having to become a believer in order to get the service. That, I think, is not acceptable. There has to be some sort of clear delineation, and it's not clear at all who's going to be the police on this effort. And again, there could be an inordinate amount of government funding spent on policing this whole effort. That's why, from the standpoint of volunteer centers, one clear delineation is the 501c3 status of a nonprofit. And, you know, that's not that hard to get for any organization, and there are plenty of people like volunteer centers who can assist other organizations in getting that status.
On the flip side, what are the strengths of combining religion and service?
Well, I think in the faith community, it's been proven, regardless of what the religion is, there's a real commitment to people and a compassion and putting service where your heart lies so that you really have a commitment and you see a moral duty to help other people. And so certainly in a community of faith, you already have that kind of motivation. And sometimes all they need is just someone around to help build the capacity so they can take the motivation and get out in the community and do good work. And some of the most important programs in the community are faith-based. As I said, the Catholic Charities, Habitat for Humanity, I mean, they've just done wonders, and a lot of that is because they feel they have a moral obligation that's fueled by their religious background to help others in need.
And many worry about the effectiveness of non-government organizations. What's been your experience about their effectiveness?
I think they're very effective. I think they're more efficient in many cases than the government because they don't have to go through so many levels of decision-making. I know in my own volunteer center, we don't have a lot of discretionary funds, but with what we do have, we're able to act quickly. For instance, in a time of disaster, we can rally forces and really get to work quickly without having to go through a lot of layers of bureaucracy to get the work done. We're also right where the people are and right where people are in need. And so we see what needs to be done and can respond immediately. We can convene people together. We can work at the very local and neighborhood levels to get things done.
Based on your experiences helping to encourage and coordinate volunteer efforts through your volunteer center, what lessons have you learned that you can pass on to the Office of Faith-Based and Community Initiatives?
Well, that motivation isn't enough. People need to be trained. People need to be managed. It's just like in any job. People need to know what to do. They need to have somebody tell them what to do. If you just get a whole bunch of volunteers together and say, okay, fix the problem, well, that's fine, but that's going to take some time. People need direction no matter what kind of work they're doing. They need some kind of direction. The worst thing you can do with a volunteer is not give them a clear sense of what needs to be done. We've learned through years and years of volunteer management, and this holds true regardless of what the task is and whether it's faith-based or not, that people need real jobs. They need a description of what the ultimate outcome is so they know what's expected of them. So you don't have a lot of people just running in circles and not really accomplishing anything. So I think it's just, sensible management needs to be there in order to be effective.
Is there enough capacity in the faith-based organizations to handle as many cases or as many people as might be needed?
I think there's the potential for that. I would think if you just said, okay, now faith-based, it's up to you to solve all the problems in your community, that's a pretty tall order. But if you give them some resources so they can get the training and the capacity building and also learning how to work with other organizations, some community building kind of work that's done so that, you know, people can be effective. It's just like it's a business. I mean, whether you look at it as a nonprofit or a morally based business, is still a business, and you have to be able to have good business practices to get things done.
And my last question concerns just the kind of setup they have. I mean, I know you've described earlier many of the big the faith-based organizations, but I think a lot of people have the perception that the smaller ones are, in fact, small. Do they have the infrastructure to handle this?
Some do and some don't. It completely depends. I know that right down the street from us, there's a very small community development corporation that's run by one church, and they're just starting to do things at the very local level, but they're very organized, and they're doing a lot in the way of helping families who have gone through one crisis or another with substance abuse or whatever, a lot of problems, but they're very organized, and they're very keen on knowing that you have to recruit volunteers who have some sense of direction and so forth. So, yes, it can be done at the local level. There are also a lot of mentoring programs, certainly a lot of youth programs and after-school programs that are run through churches and synagogues that are doing a very good job. So there's some excellent best practices out there and role models that can serve, to help other organizations figure out what to do.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Janet.
My pleasure.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a host of conversations with nationally known experts on faith-based initiatives. To learn more about our programs and research, visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. See you next week.